welcome to Sunday Mornings with Bishop Biederstadt. I'm Bishop Jan Biederstadt of the Worldwide Anglican Church, and I'm going to bring you stories from the mission field where I've been a missionary over in Africa and Asia for 22 years, along with some Christian news and the feature, Ask the Bishop. Any questions you got about theology, send them in to WKJC at WKJC.com. And now, let's get into today's program.
And by Living Waters Apostolic Ministries, with worship services at 11 a.m. on Sundays at 725 Newman Street in East Tawas, where the inerrant Word of God is taught to one and all. The one God, the one Father, one faith, and one baptism is open to all. And now, here's This Sunday Morning with Bishop Biederstadt.
Well, good morning and welcome to Sundays with the Bionic Bishop. This is Bishop Jan Biederstadt.
This is Paula Kelsey.
And Marvin Lee.
And today is Sunday, January the 8th. It happens to be the first Sunday of Epiphany. We celebrate the coming of the wise men on the 6th. Remember that January 6th is more than just what goes on in Washington, D.C. It has been for centuries the end of the Christmas season and the coming of the wise men. And Paula, what's our hymn today?
I'm going to be talking about The Church's One Foundation by Samuel John Stone.
Shall be the mourner.
This hymn came from the Lutheran hymnal. It was one that my husband liked. And it was written in the 1860s by Samuel John Stone. It was describing the church's relationship to its foundation, being Jesus Christ. This foundation unites all Christians, Christian churches in fellowship, wholly united by its Savior, the Son of God. Composed as a primary answer to the division within the Church of South Africa, when Bishop of Natal, John William Colenso, who denounced much of the Bible as untrue. Samuel Stone was included in discussions on this matter, and it caused him to write a set of hymns based on the Apostles' Creed in 1866. This was titled Lyra Fidelium, 12 hymns on the 12 articles of the Apostles' Creed. This is number 9. So this leads me to decide that be presenting in the next few weeks all the hymns from.
Well, I've been writing in the IASCO News Herald about the Apostles' Creed. And so this really goes along very well with my articles that I've been doing on the church page. We had a number of new things we're going to be starting this year, and we're making some good changes and some variations. I'm hoping you enjoy. Do always enjoy hearing from all of you, and you can always drop us a note at WKJC.com, and it's WKJC at WKJC.com is our website. As I was thinking, as I've been talking today, I'm in the process of arriving in Nepal. I left on the 7th. I'm actually getting there on the 9th. So I'm right now mid-flight, looking forward to getting back. And I was looking at the temperatures over there, and the temperatures are going to be in the mid-70s. There's a high, low in the 40s at night.
Rub it in.
Yeah, that's what Paul just says, rub it in. Well, hey, you know, I was thinking about the last couple of weeks with Christmas. I was kind of disappointed with Christmas in a sense of we had a canceled church. And because the roads are so bad, I didn't go out for Christmas dinner this year. My daughter had gone to see her boyfriend, and my other daughter stayed home because of the weather. So it was just me and the cats. And it was kind of a nice, quiet, yucky, dreary-looking day. The storm was kind of fun. I have to admit, watching the snow when you're warm and inside and don't have to go outside, it's pretty good. On Saturday before the 24th, I did go up to Lupton. My lawyer up there, J.R. Russell, once a year, he has a Jesus birthday party, and he probably had two-thirds of the group that didn't even make it because of the storm. I made it. It was all ice going up and back. In fact, it was getting out of his driveway. It took me 10 minutes of rocking the car back and forth because it had just a little bit of a lip to it, of a rise, and you're trying to make sure you can floor it, and there's no cars coming. And sure enough, with that hill, by the time you get to the road, all of a sudden, here comes somebody over the top, and you got to hit the brake. Otherwise, you'd both be in the ditch, and who knows what. But overseas, I was thinking about how much my people in Africa and in Bangladesh, they just love pictures of snow. They are so impressed by it. Every house I've been to, I don't care what kind of a mud hut it is, they have cut out of some magazine a picture of a house over here, all surrounded with snow.
I bet Christmas cards are popular.
Oh, yeah, they are.
Very, I bet.
Oh, they think it's so pretty, you know. And it's like, I mean, when it gets down to 50 degrees over here, you guys are sobbing and crying.
Yeah.
Just somehow walking in sandals in the snow there we had a couple of weeks ago just is not going to cut it. One of my young man that I've been telling you about who's in Ecuador, we've retained an attorney trying to get him here to the United States because I want him to come and start a church over for the South Sudanese. I just wish he would have followed the plan we had and not jumped the gun and took off for Ecuador. He's kind of been frustrated down there because, you know, when you are 6'6", very skinny, very black in an area like Ecuador where the people are short and are not black. And they said they're very prejudiced against black people there, and he's the only black person. Plus he doesn't speak Spanish. He's having a terribly tough time. And I know that his relatives in Grand Rapids would like him to come here, and that's where we're looking at starting a South Sudanese church, because there is quite a number of refugees living there. But we've been talking about the cold. I've been trying to help him understand, because he's complaining up there in the capital of Ecuador, it's kind of cold there at night. It was up in the mountains. And it's getting down about 45, 50 degrees, and he's having a definite case of the shivers.
Oh, he's going to be in for a shock.
Shock, yes.
Oh, yeah. He'll look like the abominable snowman when he arrives here. It was bad enough. I brought a ski jacket one time for going to Nepal. Didn't need it. I was in Bangladesh, so I gave it away to one guy. He drives Pancar, which is a three-wheel bicycle pedal cart. And the wintertime was down about 50 to 60. He was wearing that. I mean, the thing almost fell off of him because he is so much smaller.
Yeah.
But here he's zipped up and all that. And, of course, I'm walking around in shorts and a T-shirt because 60 degrees, 65. Hey, this is good. We like this for winter.
We're going to have to introduce him to the Stormy Cromer.
The which?
The Stormy Cromer. It's almost like the official hat of Michigan.
Oh, that's right. That's what you wear, right?
Well, I have like one of those Nanook hats. It's a little fuzzier, bigger. It covers more.
Okay, well, he's got Marvin's got a compensate. He's got some fuzziness on him. But we can always tell when Marvin comes in the Knights of Columbus Hall because usually we'll have Kelly will say, oh, there's Marvin. I see his hat.
I look like Nanook of the North. Yes.
Right. But anyway, I'm on my way there, and I'll be back in May, but the program is still going to go on. We're going to be recording over there, over here, and that we can probably make our new theme song over there. But that's another one from World War I. But anyway, stay tuned for some important announcements.
Did you know that the world's best coffee comes from Nepal? It is the smoothest, richest coffee grown in the Himalayas, shade-grown, rich in flavor, and extremely low in acid. Those of us with acid reflux can drink this all day, not a problem. Absolutely the most delicious coffee. It's available if you go to RenaissanceOutreachMinistries.com, but it's wonderful coffee and the best you'll ever drink. Remember, Nepal coffee is the best.
Welcome back to part two of Sundays with the Bionic Bishop. And we've been having some discussion here while maybe we have to start doing is like Periscope or something with the little cameras in here to see all the discussion goes on behind the scenes. And because we have some very lively conversations that deal with about everything.
A lot of it's not PC, but it's.
And we were just talking about how over in California now it's fashionable to carry your own straw because you can't have plastic straws in California.
That's right.
But you can still defecate on the street, which is what the homeless are doing.
Yeah.
It's
I
don't get it.
I don't either. The thinking is insane.
So why I like living here in the Midwest, and I love going overseas because the people over there have a bit more common sense than we're finding back in our country, which is really sad to say.
It is.
I think it's probably because they have something really to worry about.
Yeah.
And I'm from Arizona, where everybody from California is flocking to. And they're trying, instead of, they're coming there to get away from their own state, the things going on there, but they're wanting us to adopt the same rules and stuff.
They,
and
they bring,
the Arizonians are not going for it.
they bring their insanity with them. It's like, well, why do you do this? If you're fleeing it, why are you bringing those politics with you?
Right. It's just the insanity of the human mind is not always functional.
I think they honestly think, well, it just wasn't done right. And then they think if they get a fresh start, they can implement the same thing differently somehow, and it's going to work better somehow. And they don't understand cause and effectual relationships.
But, that's kind of like what kind of leads us into our Bible study this morning.
Ah.
And we've been, one of the things we talked about doing, because we're going to be expanding this program more, and one of them is we want to start doing little notes on Scripture, and we're looking at Galatians. Because Galatians is only six chapters of the New Testament.
It says a lot, though.
It does. You go to the Gospels, the first four, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, then the book of Acts, followed by Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, and then you have four books. You have Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. And you can remember that by the initials or for the acronym for Gentiles Eat Pork Chops. And so the first one, Galatians. And it's probably the oldest of the letters that Paul wrote, about the year 49 AD. And Paul wrote it to a group of churches he helped found.
For people who are just getting started in Christian study, those books are basically assemblages of letters to the foundling churches, the early Christian church in these regions of that part of the world. So in case you wonder where the names come from, it's based on the names of the regions where those churches resided.
This was actually a province called Galatia. It was about the middle of Turkey, and it stretched from the Mediterranean Sea in the south to the Black Sea in the north.
Mm-hmm.
And we believe that he wrote to the churches in the southern part because those were the ones that he happened to be happened to go through. When Paul would go in, on his missionary journeys, he didn't plant churches in every town. What he would do is he went to where there were crossroads because he knew that if he planted a church there, people would then take it different directions. And so that was his way of doing evangelism to gain the maximum amount of impact in the least amount of energy, which makes sense. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember being told by bosses, work smarter, not harder. And most of the time we work dumber and harder, and it doesn't get anywhere. And it's like, think about what you're doing. That's what Paul was up to. And we're going to be talking about Paul more in about 2 weeks, giving us some background. So we're just going to take little snippets, and this is the very introduction. And Paula, would you read Galatians chapter 1, verses 1 through 5?
Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. Grace be to you, and peace from God the Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
All right. So it's a very introduction, which he tended to do oftentimes with all of his letters. And this was, of course, as we said, addressed to a group of churches. Now, they didn't have a copy machine back then or a printing press. So he would have sent that letter. They would then circulate it, carried it from one church to the other, and probably make copies of it. And so that's how we have it today. But as I said, it was one of the most early letters he did. It is considered, of all the letters he wrote, there are two primary ones, Romans and Galatians. Romans was where he addressed the church in Rome. He had never been there and sent it ahead of his arrival and explained what the gospel was, about what did we believe as a foundational book. Galatians is like a mini version of it. If we want to understand what we believe as Christians, we need to get back into looking at the letters and seeing what he had to say.
Romans and Galatians actually are a great foundation. If you want to get to the nut of what Christianity is about, those two books are a great starting point.
They really are.
Yeah. Just absorb that and you'll have a great foundation for everything else that you learn about.
Yeah. Martin Luther actually referred to this book. He named it for his wife, Catherine. He says, I am wedded to it.
Yes.
And he meant that when he called it by his wife's name, because Catherine was probably one of the greatest assets he had. I mean, literally smuggled these women out. The old story was out in herring barrels out of the convent, but they didn't escape out of a herring wagon because that's how they were bringing herring in to feed the convent. And then they smuggled the women out, whether they put them in barrels or not, we don't know.
That would be stinky, yeah.
That's true. That was definitely kind of a fishy approach.
Very fishy approach.
And interesting enough was actually Catherine was the homeliest girl of the bunch. And nobody wanted her. And so Martin says, well, I guess I'll marry her. It turned out to be the best marriage.
Wow.
And they had six children. She brewed beer to raise money for his work. He always had like 30 students coming for dinner every night.
I was going to say, they had like a little inn, didn't they?
Pretty much. He had the old, I think probably the old monastery.
Okay.
That was given to him by Prince Frederick, mm-hmm. Frederick the Wise, who was the elector of the Holy Roman Empire. That was his little fiefdom. Mm-hmm. And he in turn would teach. And he would teach way into the night. Well, that's another story. Mm-hmm. But she, like I said, she brewed beer, sold that in the local area. She managed the finances, kept them financially solvent because Luther was no prize in that department. Mm-hmm. So she did a lot to support him and support the fledgling Protestant church. But as he talks about here, we are set free. We are set free from the penalty of law. Christianity is the only religion in the world to where it's not based on good works mm-hmm. to hopefully get into heaven. I mean, the Muslim has two angels, one on his shoulders. One sits and writes down all the things that he's done right, and the other one's got writer's cramps writing down everything that he did wrong. And I think most of us would have an angel on the right-hand side would be going, oh, I need help. Please give me assistance. But this is where he began at the very beginning. And by the way, as we wrap up here in verse 3, grace and peace. Grace means God's favor, and peace means total well-being. Yeah. All spiritual blessings are found in Jesus, not anywhere else. I want you to stay tuned now for some important announcements, and we're coming back for part 3. When we think about spices, we think about the Spice Islands of Indonesia. But do you realize that India and Bangladesh and Nepal are some of the biggest spice producers in the world? And through the Renaissance Outreach Ministries, we have from Nepal, from the Himalayas, all kinds of spices, from the most potent cinnamons and nutmegs to masalas, the garlic that is beyond imagination of how aromatic and strong it is. We use just a little bit. We have it available at Renaissance Outreach Ministries. And in this area, you can also buy it at Klino's Market in East Tawas. And so check it out. You'll not find spice better anywhere else. Go to our website, www.renaissanceoutreachministries.com. Welcome back to part 3 of Sundays with the Bionic Bishop. And today, Paul is going to be taking over the section here because we're talking about an issue that's before the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court is taking up about prayer, and it's a little different about than prayer. I've been trying to follow some of this, and Paul has researched. So, Paul, go ahead.
So, this case came out of Florida, Ocala, Florida, and it's Ocala versus Rojas, which is one of the offended people that brought the suit up. And angry atheists and anti-Christian extremists have long been abusing the federal court system, rushing to court claiming to be offended by some public display of prayer or exercise of religious liberty. When a crime spree gripped a local community, a prayer vigil was organized and city officials, police, and chaplains attended the event. Individuals opposed to prayer sued, and a federal court ruled that the public prayer was unconstitutional. We're appealing to the Supreme Court. Prayer is fundamental. Prayer is constitutional, and anti-Christian radicals have no right to bring these suits in the first place. This case will affect not only public prayer, but every attack on religious free expression in the public square. It's a case 35 years in the making. We've been fighting and winning these cases for decades. We defeated attempts to shut down churches during the pandemic and helped win a critical prayer case at the Supreme Court earlier this year. But now we have the biggest opportunity to stop these abhorrent attacks on prayer and religious liberty once and for all at the Supreme Court. As we take our case to the Supreme Court to protect prayer and religious liberty, take action with us. This was put out by the American Center for Law and Justice. And if you want to check that out further, you can go to their website, AmericanCenterForLawAndJustice.com. And the people that originally, the association that was originally working with Roja and the other offended plaintiffs is the American Humanist Association, AHA. Them and the four atheists filed suit, asserting the right to sue as offended observers. The ACLJ defending the city is defending the city. Supreme Court petition was filed on September 22nd, 2022. Justices are scheduled to consider our petition, the response, and our reply at their private conference. This has already taken place by this time on January 6, 2023. And we only need 4 of the 9 justices to vote to hear the case for the court to grant review. So they're actually going for an end to the offended observer being able to file suit against people praying in public. And it will probably affect a lot of other things besides just the prayer.
The modern humanist is not in the vein of the founding fathers, who were humanists in their own by their own regard. The modern humanists are more akin to atheists, and that's what they that's what they should be called. Mm-hmm. Because our founders, even though they were humanists, and the fact that they considered reason and logic and science and evidence, the modern-day humanist does not necessarily collate those things into their thinking.
No, they do not.
In fact, they can be often irrational. So that's one thing is we as Christians have to be careful with when people have these labels for themselves and they draw on classicist labels. Those labels may not necessarily fit.
Correct.
Well, you could have, when the Muslims have their call to worship five times a day, and we're talking not just somebody says it, but they do it in loud speakers that you can hear it for blocks.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember when I was in Bangladesh, you could hear, even parts of Nepal, you could hear that going off and not in sync. There'd be all these mosques around you all out of sync. You know, and it would be just this cacophony of basically what I call the caterwauling. But nobody objects to that. But it's when the Christians, like, I remember back in the 90s when Pastor Devin Chisholm was at the Methodist Church there, and he would play in the evening. They had carol on. He would play it. And he was very talented. And somebody called up and complained they didn't want to hear Christian hymns being played.
Hmm. Yes.
When people complain about Christian prayer and hymns and music and message, that is a good sign to the believer that the Christian message is the right one, the powerful one, the one that dominates all. When you have people not objecting to the Muslim call to worship, that's a pretty good guarantee that we're talking about a religion that is not as founded in the roots of God. So maybe Christians should take that as a badge of honor.
Yes.
And also, too, people are terrified of the idea if you say anything with against the Muslim, somebody's going to come out and kill you.
Well, that and
well, it's not true. The vast majority, you do have this tiny little jihadist groups everywhere.
And they know Christians are not going to fight back.
Right.
So there's that aspect as well.
Right.
Yeah, we become the target. Mm-hmm. And it's just like in England, I was that woman that was arrested for praying silently in front of a abortion clinic.
Right.
You know, how do they know she wasn't praying for the doctors?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you can't pray silently, there's something terribly wrong. I mean, now I'm saying we have a thought police, which is already, we've been kind of dealing a little bit with that in some of the misinformation campaigns.
Mm-hmm.
But if we can't even allow to think.
Think those prayers out. In this case, in the UK, the woman honestly answered the police officer.
Yes, she did.
When he asked her
what she
was doing, and she says, "I might have been praying in my head."
Yeah,
and she was arrested.
I heard the audio from the body cam footage, so it is kind of fascinating.
Yeah, it's a total violation of our rights as people
thought police.
Yeah,
and to police one's thoughts is scary because what does that ultimately lead to? Self-censorship is the first thing you might think of, but then it's the power of the state over the individual rather than the individual's power over the state.
State, yes.
And that is a proposition we cannot contend.
No. When I was in Bangladesh, which is 85% Muslim, every Easter was a Christian celebration was held right on the grounds of Parliament. And when I would go into schools, even though they was all Muslim students, I would be asked, would you lead prayer? There was no promising in the name of Jesus in Bangladesh, in Eastern Europe, former communist countries. Not a problem. You can be open talking about Jesus. And you come back to this country and we have people having a conniption over it. Mm-hmm. One person, this is what the cancel culture has done. One person can cry and everybody else, the vast majority, have to suddenly be afraid.
That's mob rule.
Yeah.
You want democracy, then you want mob rule.
Mm-hmm.
If you want a republic, then the people have the voice, not the mob. Yeah.
Well, we're supposed to respect the minorities. We also know that we should be sensitive to one another, but also be able to be who we are.
Right. Amen to that.
Yep.
I agree with that.
We've come down to the end of our time on this one. This is Bishop Jan Biederstedt.
This is Paula Kelsey.
And Marvin Lee.
Thank you for joining us, and we'll be working on expanding to other stations in the near future, so you'll be hearing us in other places as we continue with Sundays with the Bionic Bishop. And remember, Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to Father except through Christ. Amen. Well, thank you for joining me this morning. I hope you've enjoyed the time that we've spent together as we've learned about Christianity around the world and the mission field.
some Christian news, some interesting people, as well as some stories. And don't forget, we'll be back on next week at 7:30. Tell your friends and come and join us. This is Bishop Jan Biederstadt from Turner, Michigan, wishing you a blessed week.